I'm ready to go. God and Legacy. This is a series. Go ahead and jot this down. A series on faith, family, and finances. Faith, family, and finances. And let's go ahead and let's define legacy, okay? Legacy, go ahead and write this down, is something that is passed on. Something that is passed on. And we all have a legacy. And I believe this series is going to inform the quality of your legacy. Because God is going to call us all home one day. But the question is what are we going to pass on?
That's right, sir. Mm.
And then a B definition, which is really the true definition of legacy, to be more specific, is money laid aside for future generations. This is the true definition of legacy. Money laid aside for future generations. So we're not stuck in a book. We're not going with one character for the next 5 or 6 weeks. So this is what you call a various scriptures series. We're going to be all over the Bible. You're going to see in multiple places God drive home this idea of legacy in the future. And so today we have an anchor scripture, and there's not a lot to break down. It's just a great starter. Sometimes when I'm studying the Bible, I get stuck on one verse for an hour. And I just meditate on it, because then it gets into your heart. And so I want to bring this scripture to you. How about it? Proverbs 13, written by King Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, says this here, verse 22. Good people leave an inheritance to their grandchildren.
Mm. Yes.
But the sinner's wealth passes to the godly. Good people.
Come on now.
Good 12-year-olds.
Come on. Mm-hmm.
Good 13-year-olds. Good 90-year-olds. Mm-hmm. Good 37-year-olds. Happy birthday, Pastor Josh. Good 37-year-olds.
Yes.
No matter how young or old you are, you can start preparing for this today.
That's right.
Yeah.
Leave an inheritance to their grandchildren. Now, for those of you who don't have kids, or you may never have kids, you're still going to pass something on to somebody.
That's right.
So this is just as much for you as it is for the parents and grandparents.
Right.
So what I'm going to do here now, Megan, if I'm Josh, 20-year-old Josh, my pastor's preaching this, I'm locked in.
Yes, sir.
Wow, I have a guide now for my life. These are guardrails now.
Yeah.
So part of my purpose is to be a conduit,
yes,
of abundance.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Right? Go ahead and write this down. My purpose, it should pop up, is to be a conduit of abundance. Mm-hmm. Abundance to me and through me.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the reasons why God created you. An abundance of wisdom to you from God, an abundance of strength to you from the Spirit of God, an abundance of resource to you, but not just stopping with you,
no,
but through me.
That's right.
Right? To the people that God has brought into my life, and especially to my children and my grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a part of why I was created. And so I want to wake up with that every single morning. So now I can't waste a day.
Right.
Come on.
I can't waste a day on fear. I can't waste a day on negativity.
That's so good.
I can't waste a day on apathy.
Come on.
That's right.
Because I'm going towards leaving something great for people I haven't even met. For my grandchildren. Someone say the word of God.
Word of God.
So as I was studying, I said, God, give me a question. I love how we've been starting many of our messages with questions, because it just really helps. I said, Lord, what's the question this week? What is the key question? And he said, Joshua, this is the question. I don't know. He doesn't talk like that, but I hear Morgan Freeman or somebody like, Joshua, this is the question. We all hear Morgan Freeman. Okay. He said, this is the question to ask yourself. What would I do if I only had one life to live? That's the question. He said, ask yourself this. What would you do if you only had one life to live? And I'm like, well, on this side of heaven, I only have one life to live.
Right.
And he said, Joshua, that's the point. What would you do with that life?
That's good.
And I was thinking of different answers and things, processing through it. And I said, I ultimately came to this. I said, I would maximize my life. That if this was the table of everything that God had for me, and he stacked up a whole bunch of blessings to the ceiling, right? A whole bunch. I would grab them all.
Right. Yeah.
I would latch on to all of them.
Uh-huh.
All right. Peace, give me that. Joy, give me that. Wisdom, give me that.
Right?
Give me all. Anointing, give me that. Wealth, give me that.
Come on.
Right? Resource, give me that.
Good.
Right? Health, give me that.
Come on.
Give it all to me. Right?
Amen.
I would maximize my life
if
I had one life to live. I wouldn't waste it.
Right.
Because God wants abundance to flow into my life. That's his heart. If you don't get this about the heart of God, you'll never serve him fully.
Right.
If you don't understand how good God is and how resourceful he is, you'll never fully serve or be 100% in with the Lord. Okay. Your soul might be saved, but you'll never step into the abundance on this side of heaven. So I want to posture my life to receive it and then to pass it on. Right. So today I want to give us four life approaches to abundance. Four focuses. Right. More so what these things are is they create a value system. Right. So God and legacy is a series on faith, family, and finances. So to let you in on our world, we as a family, we have five family values, okay? And three of them are found in the synopsis of our series,
right?
Faith, family, finances. The other two is future and fitness. So those are our five values: faith, family, fitness, finances, future. The number five represents grace, favor, gift.
Yep.
Hashtag this great gift series.
Right.
Check it out.
Right.
One day when you have time. The number five is the number of grace, which means that everything that we receive in this life does not come as a result of our strength. It comes because of God's favor and grace.
That's right.
However, there is a part to play as we walk in the grace of God.
Right.
So here it is. If you don't have a value system for your life, someone else will define it.
Mm.
Right? Some Instagram, some TikTok, some CNN, some Fox. Every wind of doctrine will move into your heart and your mind and define your value system. And then you'll wonder why all of my life I've been fearful or I've been anxious or I've been worried. Because you have a value system derived from a demonic
Jesus
source.
Okay, now.
Versus learning the word.
Yes, yes.
And saying, wow, these are things that God values.
Absolutely.
Yes, yes.
So I'm going to replace my old values with Jesus' values.
That's right.
So I can walk in the abundance of the Lord for my life. Can we just celebrate the word of God?
Yes.
The truth of God's word. I no longer have to live confused. I don't have to wonder what my value system should be.
Right.
Pastor, what is a value system? It's my belief system. Because as a man thinks, so if I don't have a value system, I am nothing. If I have a jaded value system, I'm going to live a life jaded. If I have a fearful value system, I'm going to be a fearful person.
Right, right, right.
But if I have a faith-filled, favored, godly, with... You know,
Take it all.
Because my values, someone say values.
Values.
So this is really a series on values, a belief system. And I pray that you have a revival of your value system.
Amen.
I pray that you would stop spending so much time on podcasts and convert some of that time into scripture.
Yes.
So if another person drop a podcast, everyone got something to say.
Right.
And they ain't saying, oh, y'all know. So why y'all listening to them?
Come on.
Everyone got, well, I got this podcast.
Come on, Pastor.
The ones you should be listening to are those who don't have podcasts. All right. No, I'm serious. I was talking to my wife about this after I shaved yesterday. Thank you, Mama. Y'all didn't notice it. Trey noticed it first service. My man. You out there still? Oh, you still here? The voice. To me, it's Morgan Freeman in his Trey. That's right. You look good in that. Oh, thank you. So good. Oh, man. I forgot my point. What was I talking about? Flesh. All right. Get back in the spirit. All right. So, anyway. So, no, it was that. We're living in a time where we're talking about how we are encouraged or we're more interested in the spirituality of others versus investing into our own spirituality.
Right.
And it's because it's easier to be entertained by the success of others versus leaning into the things that God has called us to, which would actually lead to a better life.
Yes.
So it's just something that I want you guys to filter through as we head into the summer months.
So good.
Convert some of that time into prayer and scripture and all that. So four life approaches. Okay, I'm going to go quickly through number one and number four. I'm going to dive deep into two and three. I'm going to take some time there. Very practical. Someone say practical.
Practical.
All right, very practical message. Okay, so number one, my first life approach is based in faith. And that is number one, walk with the Lord.
Yeah.
Walk with the Lord. The most important relationship in any human being's life is their relationship with Jesus.
Yes.
I'm going to just shoot straight and be very simple today.
Yes.
I'm going to say it again because it's very simple but very profound.
Mm-hmm.
The most important relationship in your life is your relationship with Christ.
Yeah, that's right.
The most important decision is to make him your Savior. But the most important relationship, which is ongoing, is with Christ. Because when we come to Christ, what do we call him? Our Lord and Savior.
That's right.
The reason why many believers are living in constant defeat and struggle is because they stop at that Savior part.
That's right.
I'm saved. When I die, I'm going to heaven.
Teach.
But that's just... Though the most important decision,
right.
It's only the first step.
Right.
In our journey towards a full life before we go to heaven. The lordship part is about him leading you to a full life. So I'm so in love with the Lord. I am so in love with Jesus. Like I think about him all the time. I do. I think about what he wants me to do. What do you think about this, Jesus? How did that make you feel when I just told that lie? I'm so right. How am I think about him all the time. It's spending time with him. It's obeying him. Write this down, because obedience leads to overflow.
Yes.
Right. In every area of your life. The Holy Spirit tells you to do something. It's because he's setting you up for overflow.
Come on.
I want to obey Jesus.
Amen.
So the most important relationship, there's a stark contrast before Christ in my life and after Christ. Stark contrast. Before Christ, confused, insecure, a mess. After Christ, grew out of those insecurities. Still, you know, less confused, more clarity. Christ is the reason I'm standing before you today. No Christ, no Pastor Joshua, right? No Christ, No Pastor Kyra, right? No Christ, no Judah. No Christ.
Come on.
He's the most important relationship.
That's right.
And he must be prioritized because he said this. It won't come up. John 10:10. You can reference it. I have come that they may have a life and a life more abundantly.
That's right.
That's why he came.
Yeah.
Was so that you would step into abundance.
Yes.
And my greatest legacy is my example of faith.
So good.
Before we get to the finances and the wisdom and the all that. Your greatest legacy is not what you say about the Lord, but how your children see you love the Lord.
Yes.
And they may look like they're not listening.
Yes.
They may look like it's annoying. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to be here. But they're looking.
Yes.
And they low-key admire the fact that you love God.
Yes.
And it's the greatest thing that you can pass on. When we can celebrate it now. Sorry about that. But it's the greatest thing. I love it. I have running conversations all the time with Judah about Jesus. It's beautiful. It fills my heart because he don't want to be here because he want to play his video games all the time. But it tells me that he's getting it in his heart.
Yeah.
You know, because if I invest that into him, they're going to have an abundant life.
Right.
Someone say legacy.
Legacy.
All right, let's get practical. Number two, pursue good health. So if I'm going to draw the abundance of God into my life, as much as you are able, pursue good health.
Yes, that's good.
And once again, I know that it's out there. It's rich. It's language. It's podcasts, books. But hear your pastor.
Come on now.
Right. Hear the Lord. Pursue good health. 3 John says this, dear friend, I hope all is well with you. This is the word of God. And that you are as, someone say that, healthy in body as you are strong in spirit.
Yes.
So what is John saying? He's saying, I don't want you to be spiritually obese. I don't just want you to have biblical knowledge.
Come on.
I want you to move your body.
Come on.
Move your body. I was talking with my wife earlier this week, and she was just saying, and she didn't even know what I was talking about this Sunday, but she was saying, I am on a health journey for legacy.
Yes, yes.
And a lot of the reason why we can't be consistent in our workout is because our why is not strong enough.
That's correct.
Right? Some of us want the beach bod, right? The summertime. Okay, you get the beach bod. What happens in the fall? What happens in the winter?
Yeah.
We hibernate, and it all comes back. So you're like, man, I can't wait on this fast to come so I can drop this weight. You should be leaning into the Lord, right? But you're like, I can't wait on January. We fast. But your why isn't strong enough. So she said this. She said, a couple years ago, Judah was running up the stairs, and she couldn't keep up with him. And she said, this bad health thing, it stops today.
Yeah, come on.
Right? So now your goal is you want to run laps. You want to pace because Jay runs track. You want to be able to run around the track with our kids. And then you said your new why is you want to be able to run around the track with our grandkids.
Mm,
so how do I, then you're going to be mid-70s.
That's right.
How do you do that?
Right.
You got to reverse engineer.
Absolutely.
And you have to start pursuing good health today.
Yes. Yeah.
Because good health, here it is legacy.
Yes.
Right? The body that you live in, because you are a soul, the body you live in is the temple of the Holy Spirit.
That's it. Yeah. Come on.
So there are two components of good health. Here it is, diet and exercise. Write those down. All right, I just want to encourage you. Diet, lots of water. Come on, let's make some lifestyle changes. Lean meats, plenty fruit and vegetables. Let's begin to change this. Stop playing around with it. Stop pushing it back. Let's stop giving into our cravings.
Oh,
right? Let's stop giving into our flesh because it's only tearing you down.
Yes.
And it's making you tired, okay? Here it is. This is what God's word says. 1 Timothy 4. Someone say the word of God.
The word of God.
All right. Physical training is good.
Amen.
You didn't even know that was in the Bible, did you? You're like, what? God said what? So all these cats is copying God.
Yes.
He had the idea first.
Yes.
God says it. Physical, someone say it with me. Physical training is good. And then it got dot, dot, dot for all my people who want to, you go send an email or something. Let me clarify this. And it says, and spiritual training is good for this life and the life to come. But back to this point. Okay, we good? We here? Okay, good. Physical training is good.
Right.
All right. Write down these benefits. It's vital. All right, it won't come up on the screen. I'm going to go fast. Heart health. Heart health. It's the number one killer in America. It's heart disease.
Yes, sir.
Number two, it boosts mood. Next, it reduces stress. It increases productivity. It improves thinking. It builds confidence. So, Lord, I just got to move my body. Yep. It's not that you don't have faith. It's not that your dreams aren't big enough and you're not a good person. You're not moving your body. Your body will wear down your soul.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Come on now.
It reduces stress. It produces, yes, increases productivity. It builds confidence. What does Deion Sanders say, right? Feel good, look good,
play good,
right? Feel good, look good, play good. When you're working out, you feel like you're walking on air. You feel good.
That's right.
You're looking good. You stepping into any room like you own the place, and you really don't, but you feel like it. Right? It's good stuff.
That's right.
And I'm not trying to shame anyone. Is this good? Okay? Can I give you the four? Come on, Alice. Come on. I'm just trying to help. I'm trying to help you draw the abundance of God into your life. Let me give you, I got a lot of lists today. Let me give you the four D's of physical movement. Instead of calling it exercise, let's call it movement. Four D's of physical movement. This is to help you get started and to stay on top. Number one is desire. You have to have a desire. If you're writing notes, a desire for what, Pastor? For a better quality of life. It starts with desire. I want to feel better. I want to do better. I want to run for the next 50 years. I want to launch these 20 locations across Maryland. Wow, you're talking about thousands of people, Josh. You're talking about big budgets, big staff. You're talking about a lot of outreach. You're talking about international outreach.
Right.
Is your body ready to handle the weight of that success?
Right.
And what God is saying, he's saying it's not, but it can be.
Come on.
So if I desire that, I need to get my body align with what God wants to put on me. Because blessing is heavy.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's heavy. So I see the dream. I see myself in it. You got to see yourself lean and moving those legs. And you have to see yourself living in it. Number two is a decision. One day at a time.
Yes.
One day at a time, guys. Don't sit here right now and say, I'm every day for the next 6 months, I'm going to work out. Pastor, I'm ready. No, stop. Please, don't do that. One day at a time. You make it before you go to bed. You recommit in the morning.
Good.
Work out. Number three, discipline. Discipline. What's the thought here? It's commitment over feelings.
Yes.
I don't feel like it, but I'm committed.
Yeah.
It's raining outside. I'm low energy. I'm going to get on my treadmill for 15 minutes and just walk. If you do that, you're going to do the next thing.
Yes, yes.
Then that exercise and the food component, you're like, well, I got to eat healthy.
Yep.
And you're like, I got to get my rest, right? All right. Someone say commitment.
Commitment
over feelings. All right. Then here it is. You got to feel this, the delight. Amen. There's delight.
That's so good.
It pays off.
Good.
You're going to love it. Every time the devil,
yes,
you're tired, you don't feel good, don't do it. But every time the Lord, I do it, I'm like, why did I even doubt? I feel so great.
Yes, that's right.
All right, try this. Here it is. Write this down. Try 30 minutes a day, four times a week. Just commit to that. Even if it's walking, some lightweight resistance, 30 minutes a day. Right? Because abundance flows to me when I'm healthy.
It's so true.
It flows to me when I'm healthy. Number three, Am I boring you?
No.
All right. Number three. All right. Y'all ready? Y'all ready for this? Someone say I'm ready.
Ready.
Open your heart. Before I give you this one, I need your mind to expand. I need your mind because we're going to work on this for about 2 weeks. You ready?
Yeah.
Next week, we're going to deal with having an abundance mentality. We're going to challenge your paradigm and encourage you. Number three, understand money and God's heart concerning wealth.
Mm-hmm. Good.
This is the third life approach to abundance. It's understanding money. Please don't get bored on me because all y'all love money.
Mm-hmm.
I don't love money. It says for the love of money is the root of evil. Stop. Take your church face off. Because I can go down the list and tell you, you love money. Do you like vacations?
Yes.
I won't go anymore. Okay. You need money for a vacation. Okay. All right, we ready?
Yes.
All right. Keep quiet. I'm just kidding. Hey, come on now. Let's do it. We can celebrate a little bit. I love it, man. I want y'all to do this thing. We got one life to live.
Yes.
Your boy's 37. They saying in America, you're dying by 74. And life passed by fast.
Yeah. Yes.
Them 37 years, y'all know how fast they pass by?
Yes.
Look at my eyes. Pay attention. Y'all saw it? Y'all saw it? That's how fast they pass. So okay, number three, okay. Dang it, this message is longer than I thought. Here's the key question, guys, okay. How does God feel about me becoming wealthy?
Wow.
This is important because your thoughts about how God feels will determine your financial future.
Yes.
And if your thoughts aren't biblical, you're going to be in a space of constant struggle in this area for the rest of your life. Because your thoughts about God concerning your money have to be in order. And I'll tell you, whenever you're dealing with this idea of what God thinks and his intentions, always, pro tip, Bible study, go back to Genesis.
Yes, sir.
Go back to before the fall.
Good.
This is what the Lord thinks.
Yeah, that's good.
About your finances.
That's right.
Mm. Right? And when we see Adam and Eve before the fall, they were what? Blessed.
Yes.
Abundantly, abundantly blessed. Adam was wealthy. Hey, when you think about the garden, you can't think about the garden in front of your house. Or your apartment complex little landing. Like, oh, that's nice. The Garden of Eden. Or by the real sign of Rio. That's the Garden of Eden. I don't want that. It was, you have to, it was thousands of acres. And it was thousands of trees.
Yes.
Go back home and read it today. In the garden, God said, you can eat of whatever tree you want.
Yes.
What was he saying? Live it up.
Yeah.
Enjoy your life.
Right.
Go get the clothes. Go have the food. Go do whatever you want.
Yes.
That's the heart of our God. He said, just don't touch that one. Because if you touch that one, it's going to minimize all of this. And then you're going to be stuck in a state of thinking that God constantly wants you to struggle.
Come on.
When that was never his intention.
Right.
So Adam was wealthy. Watch this. So the Genesis 2. So the Lord God took the man he had made and settled him in the Garden of Eden that's the key word, cultivate and keep it. Do you know what cultivate means?
Yes.
It means to grow. So if he's already in a prosperous place,
wow,
come on. Mm-hmm.
God says, grow it?
Yes.
He's already a trillionaire, a billionaire. At this point, Adam owns the world.
Yeah.
That's why I kind of debate if Solomon was the richest man to ever. I think it was Adam, right? He said, grow it?
Come on.
So that's the heart of God?
Right.
The heart of God is for you to have more than enough.
That's right.
So that you can, number one, if you're taking notes, enjoy resource and be blessed enough to be a blessing.
Come on.
Yes. Come on.
That's why he said grow it. Because he said be fruitful, multiply, and subdue the earth. So why are you calling me to cultivate it? Because I want y'all to have kids, and I want those kids to have kids.
Right.
And Adam and Eve, you need to pass it on.
Yes.
So I really need us to lean into our money and to stop over-spiritualizing.
Right.
It. And here it is, and to stop under-spiritualizing it. So many Christians under-spiritualize the need to thrive financially.
Wow.
And they wear poverty and struggle as a badge of honor.
Yeah.
As long as I'm struggling, I can go to the Lord and pray.
Wow.
God's like, can you please stop asking me for money? And apply these principles. Abraham, someone say Abraham.
Abraham.
Abraham was, here it is, guys, the father of our faith. How do we get to heaven?
Faith.
Faith. We get to heaven through faith in Christ. Abraham was the father of our faith who started what we know as Christianity, right? He's the father of faith. What does the Bible say about Abraham? It already came up. What does it say? Abram was very what?
Rich.
And livestock, silver, and gold. Why was he rich? Because he loved the Lord. That's and his right. Heart was right.
Yes.
And God didn't mind blessing him.
Yes.
Because he understood Abraham is a pure conduit of abundance. If I give it to him, it's going to always get to the right place.
There you go.
And the Bible says, Isaac, he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So what does that mean? God is a God of abundance. Week two. Sorry, Lord. God is a God of abundance.
Yes.
And he is a God of generations.
Right. Yes.
So the Bible says that when Abraham passed away, who inherited? Isaac. Was Isaac poor? No. Did Isaac love the Lord?
Yes.
Yes. Is Jesus Christ in Isaac's loins?
Yes.
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 It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay to pursue good things.
Come on.
Doesn't make you a prosperity Christian. You for sure don't want to be a poverty Christian.
Come on.
But you do want to be a blessed Christian.
Come on.
You want to be a blessed. It's okay to be blessed. Here it is, Genesis 24, verse 1. By now, Abraham was old and well along in years. Here it is. And the Lord, someone finish this for me, had
blessed him
in
every way.
Had blessed him in every way. Proverbs 27. So what do we do with this, Pastor? Okay, here it is. Know the state of your flocks. That means your finances.
Yes.
Here it is. Y'all taking notes? Y'all looking?
Yeah.
All right. Come on now. Put your heart into caring for your money. Here it is. For riches don't last forever. And the crown might not be passed to the next generation if you don't handle your business. So what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying understand money. This is the third life approach of abundance. So let me give you a quick list, okay? Budget. Understand a budget. So for some of you, that's your first step. Honoring that budget, knowing where every dollar goes. Number two, debt. Start to get out of debt. This is why we're having our financial one day in November over at the Frederick location. We got it. We got to get us financially free. Debt, credit. Understand the power of credit. Not all credit is bad credit.
Right?
All right. Credit. Okay. Investments. Investments, learn this stuff. Retirement, Lord, it's coming for you. It's coming. I just buried my father. I remember the day he retired. Watch this. And I remember the day he passed away. And I don't mean to make fun of it, but guess how fast it went by? It went by quick.
Yeah.
I remember the day he I'm retired, son. I'm good. I'm chilling. Before you know it, I was burying him. It's coming. Are you prepared for it?
Wow.
Are we too busy jumping jobs?
Jeez.
Being ungrateful for the job we do have? Do we not know what's in the 401k? You need to know this. You ought to go home today, tomorrow, and get into your 401k.
That's good.
Start building your stop playing with the devil.
Right.
Stop complaining about your job.
Yes.
And be grateful for it.
It's
building something. Retirement. Life insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Pass something on. If you're young, get a million. Get 1.5. Get a life insurance policy. Next one here, long-term care insurance. You can't do it all at once. I don't want you to be discouraged, but you got to start learning about it. So when your season comes, long-term care, because retirement and death are two different seasons.
That's right.
Get into it. And 529 plan for your children.
Yes.
For college. I want to encourage you with this. The next 5 to 10 years could change the trajectory of your life financially. Forever. Get into it. Number four, go after your dreams. Go after your dreams. You got one life to live. Don't give it over to fear.
Yes.
Don't give it over to fear. God told me to tell you that many of you are one step, one decision away from changing the trajectory of your life.
Come on.
For generations to come. Go after it. Stop hesitating. Go after that dream. Many of you are one season away.
Good.
And you're in the middle of it. You're in here prophetically. You are in a 2-year process.
Yes.
You're about to quit on it, and God has not called you to quit. If you stick in there. Stick in there. Stick in there. Because this is what I know. After pastoring for a decade and following Christ for almost 20 years now, I see it all the time. People quit right before their breakthrough. It's such a heartbreaker for me.
Yep.
And it was like, next week, bam, God had it. Where they at? Go after your dreams.
So
put your hands together if you've been blessed.